Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I want to take this time to thank Dr. North for giving me this chance to stand before you and share the Word of God with you. And I feel pretty comfortable because as I look around, I'm seeing a number of you that are my professors, a number of you that we interact with from time to time, and some of you whom I've had a time of interacting with right in the classrooms where I've had a chance of teaching you. So I feel pretty blessed to stand before you. This morning, I want to share with you something that is at the heart, is really at the center of my heart, a message that I've entitled, The God Who Is There. And before we go on into the message, let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again that we can come before you just as we are and open your word and know that through this word, you can speak to us. And so use me as an instrument in your hands that I can divide this word to this group and bless us all together richly. In Jesus' name, amen. The God who is there. One of the things that is pretty annoying when you are working on the computer, you are working on the internet, you know, surfing the internet, looking for things, you know, as it is obvious that many of us do that in this academic setting, are those pop-ups that keep on coming. You know, sometimes you buy software to block the pop-ups, but the pop-ups sometimes have a way of filtering through, and you are very busy working, and then one just pops up on the computer. And a couple weeks ago, I was trying to catch up with some of the news back at home. You know, Kenya is a country that was in the news internationally for quite some time early this year. And so since that time, I always want to make sure I catch up with the news to know exactly what's going on at home, you know. And so when I got onto the website of one of these Kenyan newspapers, I started reading the newspaper, and then all of a sudden, something popped up. And usually my practice is to click on it very fast and close it. But on this particular day, I looked at this pop-up and it drew my attention. So I decided to have a second look at it. It was a DVD, you know, a DVD which was entitled The God Who Was Not There. You know, as a theologian and as a Christian, when I see something that is saying the God who was not there, I'm not just going to close it as I do close other things very fast. So I took my time, I clicked on it, and I said, let me find out what this DVD is all about. And then as soon as I clicked on it, there was a little summary just to give me some insight into what, in a nutshell, what this DVD is about. And the makers of this DVD are apparently people who do not believe that Jesus Christ ever existed. They say he was merely but a fake. He was a fable. He was a fabrication, an imagination of people's, a figment of people's imagination. He's somebody who never really existed. So I began asking myself, oh boy, look, here we are in this world which is in turmoil, where people tend to run to Christianity and find solace and comfort in Christianity. And yet here is a group of people who have made this video and they are marketing it. Usually when things pop up, they're popping up so that people can buy them. You know, so that people can see about this God who was not there. A few weeks ago, I just completed reading another book. A book that is written by a university professor who since coming into grips with the idea of suffering that is so much prevalent in the world, has decided he can no longer continue to be a Christian. And so he is an atheist, never believes in God. A religion professor teaching students about religion in universities and colleges by the name Bart Ehrman. Bart Ehrman has written a book which some of you may have come across. It has been one of New York's bestsellers, God's Problem, How the Bible Fails to Answer Our Most Important Questions, Why We Suffer. And in this particular book, Ehrman says that I realized that I could no longer reconcile the claims of faith with the facts of life. In particular, I could no longer explain how there can be a good and all-powerful God actively involved with this world, given the state of things. For many people who inhabit this planet, Ehrman says, life is a cesspool of misery and suffering. And so I came to a point where I simply could not believe that there was a good and kindly disposed ruler who is in charge of this world. And so he has given up his faith. For him, basically, God wasn't there. He isn't existing at all. In the year 2005, after the tsunami event that devastated the Asian subcontinent, and many, many people lost their lives, someone has written a book, David Bentley Hart has written a book, The Doors of the Sea, and there's a subtitle to this book, Where Was God in the Tsunami? Basically, he is posing a question also, you know, where was this God? He's basically a God who probably was non-existent. For how can can a loving, caring God allow such immense suffering to take place on the surface of this earth? Just after 9/11 event here in the USA, the Seventh-day Adventist official paper magazine, The Signs of the Times, had a special issue. And the title of this special issue of The Signs of the Times was, Where Was God? Where was God? Beloved, this is a question that many of us have come to grapple with. And if you have never come to grapple with this question, where sometimes you want to find out, is he really there or he is not there? In our times of desperation, in our times of loss, in our times of crisis, in our times when we have failed, in times of difficulties, we always come to the point where we ask ourselves, where is God? Is he really existing? Is he really there? And if that question hasn't come to you, it's going to be a question that you may have to answer many, many times as a minister, as a teacher, as you come in contact with people who are wrestling with the issues of life, with transitions in life. Those men and women, young and old, rich and poor, will be grappling with this very question of the absence and the presence of God. Is he really there during those times when I really need him? As I go through my Bible, I find that there are instances where there are people who also had their doubts. They had questions whether this God was really going to be there. We just had our scripture reading, the story of Martha and Mary. Their brother Lazarus is sick. They have done what you and I would have done. They have sent word to Jesus to come and help them during their time of need. And the Bible tells us that instead of Jesus leaving all that he was doing and going straight to this particular home, Jesus took how many more days before he reached there? 2 days. And by the time he reached, Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. And so Martha hears that this man whom she had sent for,
while the brother was still alive, is now coming to their home. He's coming too when it is too late. The bottom has already dropped off the bucket. And so Martha runs out. And when he meets Jesus, he says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Where were you when I needed you? Where were you when he was still alive?" These are questions that people ask themselves. People ask themselves. The disciples are out at sea. The winds and the waves are tossing them around. They have Jesus right within the boat, but it is as if he is not there. Because instead of him being awake and controlling these winds and the waves, he is deep asleep. The disciples cry out, "Lord, Master, don't you care that we are going to perish? Yes, it's like you are here, but really you seem not to be there." The God who is not there. He has ministered. Finally, he has died. The disciples who had pinned their hopes in him, who are expecting better life, a better future, are left hopeless. There are those two disciples on their way to Emmaus. They are talking amongst themselves, talking about the happenings of that weekend. They are wondering, what next? After this person that we put our hopes in has already gone, what next is there for us? And as they are talking, some stranger comes and joins them. And as you read that section of Luke chapter 24, you find that they begin expressing how much they are in despair, how hopeless they are, for the man whom they had trusted is no longer there. He is the one we hoped was going to bring salvation to Israel, and now he is no longer there. And to make matters worse, we are being told that even the grave where he was laid is empty. He is not there. We don't even know where his body is. Compounding one problem after another. The God who apparently seemed not to be there. Yes, this is the feeling that comes to many of us during our times of need. But I want to bring you the good news this morning, that in spite of the appearances of God's absence, of God's non-existence, of God being so far away, of God appearing not to care, I serve and I worship a God who is there. He's a God who is there. A God who has been and who is and who will ever be. That is the God that I have served all these years. That is the God that I worship. That is the God that I'm still recommending to you today. A couple weeks ago, we were visiting on a Sabbath afternoon out here in the community. And we went to this particular home to pray with a patient. And when we reached the home, we sang some songs, we talked, you know, and then it reached a point where I wanted to share something with this family from the Word of God before we prayed with them and prayed for the patients. And the mother of this home told me to pause a little bit, and she said, "Pastor, I have something I want to share with you. In spite of the sickness that my husband is going through, I have faith and I believe in a God who is able to work miracles. For he has done it for me." And then this mama went on to tell us what happened to her. One winter morning, she was out shoveling snow. And after completing to shovel snow, she came back into the house. And that particular day, she was going to do a final exam in her nursing class, in one of her nursing classes.
And so she comes home, she prepares herself, and as any student knows, you want to review your notes before you go for that exam. You know? And so she, when she was ready, she goes to the table, opens her notes, and lo and behold, she can't see anything. She just can't read. The exam is early that afternoon. And she says, "Pastor, I know that I had had a surgery on one of my eyes, and during that time, apparently, I must have ruptured, while I was shoveling snow, I must have ruptured one of the nerves in my eye. And because of that, there was some kind of blood clot within, so I could not just read. And so what I did, I was able at least to look at the watch, to look at the clock. So I said, 'God, I know you are powerful. I know you are able. I know you can restore my sight. I am giving you 1 hour. 1 hour. I'm giving you 1 hour, God, to restore my sight so that I can read, review my notes, go and sit for this final exam.' And so she says she left her books on the table. She went about her business, but she was checking on the time. And when that hour ended, she went back to the table where her books were. She opened the books, and lo and behold, she was able to read. She read her notes, she reviewed her notes, and she went and did the exam, and she got over 90% in her exam. What am I saying? That in spite of the people who may tell us that God wasn't there, there are still men and women today who believe that God is there. That God is still active, that God is still working in my life and in your life. He is still bringing some changes in our lives. He is intervening in situations in our lives. He is a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This is the God that I am bringing to you." The centurion realized that there is a God who is there. And so when his servant was sick, he knew that there was somebody who would be able to bring some change, some healing in the life of his servant. And so he sent for Jesus to come over. But this man, interestingly, had so much faith in the existence of Jesus as a God that when Jesus was just about to reach the house, the man tells those people to tell him, "Hey, teacher, stop where you are. Don't even bother yourself to come under my roof. For I am a man who knows what authority means. I tell people, do this and they do it. Come here and they come. So don't even disturb yourself. Simply speak a word and I know my servant will be healed." And sure enough, his servant was healed without Jesus even stepping there. And then Jesus says, "You know, I have never found such great faith even in Israel." Beloved, sometimes you may find that those of us who are religious lack faith, lack belief in this God, even though we may preach him, even though we may teach him, just like that professor. Sometimes we lack the faith to believe that this God is there and he keeps working in our lives. A sinful woman, a sinner, who knows very clearly that her situation is hopeless as a sinner. People may not even want her to come near them. And yet she goes and buys that expensive alabaster vessel of oil, and she comes where Jesus is. For she knows this God who is there is the only hope of mine because of my sins. And she starts, you know, getting that oil and, wetting the feet of Jesus and drying it with her hair. You know, she knew that it is only in Jesus that as a sinner, she would be able to find forgiveness for her sins. So even when Peter, the host, began to complain, "Oh, if this man knew what kind of a woman this woman is, she would never not even allow him to allow her to touch him." Yes, Jesus knew. You think he didn't know that Mary was a sinner? He knew.
But where do I go to with my sins? I can only go to Jesus with my sinful situation. And this woman knew who she could go to, and she went to Jesus, and she found forgiveness. She found rescue right at that particular time. Yes, my God is a God who is there. Last week I was in the car driving to some place, and I was listening to this interview on Diane Rehm's show on NPR, an interview that she was conducting with Salman Rushdie. Salman Rushdie is a very well-known figure. And so the interview continued, and as they were coming to the end of the interview, Diane Rehm posed a very sharp question to Salman Rushdie. She asked him, "Rushdie, is there any one thing that God would do so as to show that he is a God who is existing?" And then, you know, it's as if Rushdie was expecting that kind of a question without even giving it a thought. He simply said, "This God will have to show up. He will have to show up." And I want to tell you this morning that my God who is there is a God who specializes in showing up. He's a God who specializes in showing up. You know, he showed up at creation. For the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Nothing that was created without him. He is a person who specializes in showing up. He showed up right there in the fiery furnace. When Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was a God who is not there, a God who was going to leave his people on their own, he showed up. And no wonder Nebuchadnezzar was surprised after the three Hebrew worthies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into the fire. He discovers that, lo and behold, instead of the three in the fiery furnace, how many are there? Four. And so he stands up, moves closely to see, is he really seeing properly, or it is an optical illusion? And sure enough, he says, "Lo, I thought we only threw three of them, but now I see four, and one of them looks like a son of the gods." Beloved, my God showed up right at that time when he was needed most. He showed up at the den of lions. When the enemies of Daniel thought that they were doing him in, and they completely convinced Darius to have Daniel thrown into the lion's den, my God who showed up. And so the king is in trouble the whole night. He can't eat. He can't accept entertainment. He can't even sleep until morning. And when he goes to the den of lions, he asks, "Daniel, did the God that you serve continually rescue you from the mouth of the lions?" And Daniel says, "Yes, king, I want you to know, my God specializes in showing up. And when the lions were trying to open their mouths, he showed up and he closed the mouths of the lions, and they never, never touched me." I serve a God who specializes in showing up. He's a God who specializes in showing up. You know, he showed up when he was born in Bethlehem, not as a celebrity baby. You know, this week we have been, the world has been so enamored by the celebrity babies, the twins that were born in France, the so-called Brad Angelina babies. The world is kind of enamored by those babies. I was listening to the news yesterday, watching, and they are saying at that particular hotel in France, everyone, you know, the journalists are everywhere at every entrance.
They want to make sure they can get the first pictures of those babies. My God showed up as a baby, not as a celebrity baby, born in a manger, but he still showed up. He still showed up. And because he showed up and he was born, he has brought about a lot of changes in people's lives. He showed up to the disciples on the lake who are struggling with their boat. He showed up when these people thought he was just but a ghost. You know, they thought that was a ghost that was passing by, only for him to tell them, hey, don't be afraid. I specialize in showing up when you are in trouble. The wind is so much, but I'm here. It is I. Don't be afraid. My Lord specializes in showing up. He showed up for the blind man, Bartimaeus in Jericho. This man who could not even see. He showed up and he opened Bartimaeus' eyes. He showed up at the home of Mary and Martha. And at that time when they were desperate, their brother had already died. He comes to the tomb of Lazarus and he calls Lazarus forth. Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus comes out of the tomb alive. My God, who is there, is a God who is able to show up. He showed up to those disciples on the road to Emmaus. For after he identified themselves to them, they were able to say, oh boy, weren't our hearts burning within us while he walked and talked with us along the way. You know, he is a God who shows up, and he's going to show up even though we may think he is far away, even though we may think he's nowhere. He is a God who is there. On July 2, this very year, just a few days ago, there was a dramatic rescue that took place in Colombia, where about 15 hostages were rescued with a well-orchestrated plan by the Colombian military and some other governments around the world. Those people never knew that they were going to be rescued. They probably had resigned themselves to dying in the hands of those Colombian rebels. But, beloved, that time reached, and these people came and rescued them and brought them out into freedom. And I want to tell you that my God, who is there, he is going to show up one day as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. And when he shows up as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords, I want to be among those people who can meet him in the clouds of the air and say, lo, this is my God, the one we have been waiting for. He has come to save us into his kingdom. What about you?